if it's locally owned,
it's Copper Row.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Row.
Conversations with the Mayor is presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Talking Carrboro today, as evidenced by the song, and we are joined in the studio by Mayor Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
Happy to be with you as well. So before we start talking about Carrboro-specific things, we heard already from Alicia Stemper, who is working with the Orange County Sheriff's Office on the successful search for Marianne Rosenman. Alicia is also your wife, so you've been very close to this search as well.
Yeah. It's a day to be extremely thankful.
Mm-hmm.
As Kirby Saunders said, when you enter, I think, that phase of 72 hours of a search, you get, your hopes at finding someone alive, greatly diminish. And so I think today was going to be a really critical day for mm-hmm. all the folks out there working on this. And, Aaron, it struck me, I'm often the one out doing things, and, Alicia and my family, often are, kind of trying to hold down the home front when I'm doing things. It was really, interesting to be on the other side of that this week. Tuesday morning is when the, Sheriff's Office and, Kirby Saunders and the other first responders, learned about the woman who had gone missing. And really, since that moment, that's all they've been thinking about. So, it's almost hard to imagine it, but they've been living it, breathing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Alicia, as well as, a lot of the folks that she worked with, they went in first thing in the morning, they'd stay there until like 11 o'clock at night, try to get a little sleep during the evening, and then the next morning kind of check in and say, is there any news? Because they'd have a skeleton crew in the evening, and then just go right back in and go at it again. Tremendously emotional undertaking for everyone. And of course, all along the way, checking in and hearing from and supporting the family as they went through all of their emotions. But it's just absolutely stunning and wonderful to find that she was found alive and she's, at the hospital now, I think, doing okay, kind of getting some care. But, just tremendous thanks to everyone out there who made that happen.
Yeah, and really underscores the importance of all of those relationships that we spend so much time building between towns and counties and law enforcement agencies and emergency services. We've seen how important that can be in a number of different areas in the past, but this in particular this week.
This one was awesome, and I watched every bit of the press conference. It's mm-hmm. about 16 minutes, if anyone wants to watch it. It's on several of the news stations. But it was really such an example of collaboration. I mean, there were so many folks from other departments that had come to help out and were helping to search, that were coordinating efforts with the local folks. I also found it tremendously interesting to hear the expertise that was behind the search method. I know there's a point probably where you think, God, let's just look everywhere, but there was a method to the madness and the way and the statistics of how far people wander and the underbrush and the idea that even though we've searched area, let's search it again.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a plan that was laid out and honestly executed, perfectly in the sense that it resulted in, a life being saved.
Yeah.
And it was, I think that kudos, just wonderful kudos to Kirby Saunders and to Sheriff Blackwood and all of his crew. I mean, it's just, it's really just unbelievable.
And we're all really relieved and happy about the outcome. We're speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Townofcarrboro.org is the town's website for more information. Turning now to Carrboro specific news, kind of the biggest development this week in terms of Carrboro News is the beginning of a project that you and I have talked about on a number of occasions, dealing with that intersection at Merritt Mill and Franklin that has been kind of such a hassle for pedestrians and bikers and drivers for so long.
Yeah, it's finally going to get underway, and so we had an MPO meeting this past Wednesday, and mm-hmm. that's when we get reports on projects that we haven't heard about during the intervening time, and we got the report that the week that students are coming back, it's going to happen. But that's okay.
Of course,
it's something that has to happen. And you may recall that we were presented with a number of designs, some of them involving rather elaborate kind of islands and lima bean shapes and mm-hmm. roundabout of beans and just things that, you know, took up too much space, took up buildings, took up property. It's also kind of confusing because it's Chapel Hill and Carborough, so we all kind of worked on it together. But we think we arrived at a really good solution that is going to definitely improve pedestrian and bicycle traffic, and also going to, you know, make crossing the street as you get into Chapel Hill a little more efficient. It's going to be, you know, marked better. Sometimes right now you walk on sidewalks and they kind of go nowhere and you feel kind of scared. We were told on Wednesday that some of the improvements, some of the markings and improvements were going to begin, I believe, in front of the Carolina Car Wash.
Mm-hmm.
I think it said starting the end of this week. I'm not sure if it has started yet, but if not, it'll start next week. And then we were told they were going to go around in a circle and then do the crossings and signals and kind of go all the way around. Now, we asked, is that clockwise or counterclockwise? They didn't know. But I believe I did hear that they hope to have it completed within a month. So barring any terrible weather, this is not like some other projects that we have going on in town. In fact, this might be, these two might represent the two extremes
we have
going on right
now. So this isn't going to involve like whole scale changes to the way that intersection is laid out then.
No. Yeah. It's going to be, shoring up the sidewalks, marking them better, having some new permanent markings mm-hmm. for more direct pedestrian crossings and pedestrian specific signal, what's called ped heads. Now, I think I want to say maybe on the Chapel Hill side, I might be wrong, but there might be a little island put in of some sort. But so theirs might have been a little different than what we were focusing on our side. But in any event, it should help increase safety greatly once it's in there. And this, all the stats show that it would help with mm-hmm. bicycling and pedestrian walking.
There's a couple different aspects of that intersection that are problematic if you're a pedestrian. I was thinking about coming out of the parking deck and walking into Chapel Hill and having to cross all of those streets where the street is just really long to cross. Penny Rich, we were speaking with her earlier this week, and she mentioned, you leave Crook's Corner and you want to get back to the parking deck, which is not an uncommon occurrence for people, and there's no way to cross the street. So
yeah,
now this is a great way to resolve that.
Yeah, this should help take care of it some, although I'm not sure if it's going to be in what would seem to be the most natural place to mm-hmm. walk across, because I kind of want to just walk out the parking lot and just go straight across the street.
And just go straight across the street, right.
Yeah, so this
which I have done, even though it's probably a little illegal.
We've all done it. but I think, you know, even to just have it even a little bit further up mm-hmm. to see where it is, because you kind of know, it's not going to get any better when I walk up there. It's actually maybe even safer to run across here
exactly.
right now. So anyway, that'll be going on, so
yeah.
We're looking forward to that.
And you also mentioned kind of related to pedestrian and bike and vehicle traffic, traffic calming issues in Carborough as well.
Yeah I just wanted to mention that this has been kind of a little bit of a topic in town the last couple of weeks, and it involves what we call our residential traffic management plan. And so, it's really for speed and traffic control. And you know, what this is a plan that our board adopted actually back in 1996, and it's been amended a couple of times since then. But it provides an orderly way for when you have neighbors in a neighborhood that are concerned about speeders, how to go about asking the town to look into traffic calming measures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of speak to this with firsthand knowledge because this happened in my neighborhood within the last 2 years. And I stayed completely out of it, except for being on the board, but my neighbors kind of took it on themselves and had over the years. And so really what it involves is, a series of steps that are laid out in our policy. And one of the first ones is, that you have to kind of, first of all, report the problem to the
mm-hmm.
town. And then after that, you have to, after you fill out a form and kind of, you know, go over it with staff and explain the nature of the problem and so on, and make sure it is a town road, those
kind
of things.
Right.
Then you have to get some neighborhood consensus around moving forward with some kind of a solution. And so there's a petition that's required from residents that live in the neighborhood to make sure there really is a widespread concern for the traffic issue that's going on. And so staff helps identify this area of influence, and they get this, you know, filled out and everything. The petition has to be signed by at least 75% of the owners or residents of the properties, and each property can kind of have one signature. Mm-hmm. But anyway, once we get that, once town staff gets that, then they start collecting a lot of data about traffic volume and so on. And then they kind of come to us at some point and ask us there's traffic calming, stage one and stage two traffic calming. You know, one's a little more severe than the other. It kind of builds up depending on how bad your traffic is. Mm-hmm. And so I say all this to kind of say, one thing we have noted over the years, you know, you never have 100% consensus one way or the other
on anything.
On it.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw this even in my neighborhood, certainly. And the other thing is that there are different forms of traffic calming. You know, I think the first thing people think of when they hear traffic calming, like, oh God, I don't want these big speed bumps in my neighborhood.
Right.
There's also
like ways to narrow the road too.
There are
right? That's
ways
what I typically
to,
think
yeah,
of.
Ways
yeah,
ways to narrow the road, and so like those are called chicanes. Like mm-hmm. those are ways that you can either narrow the road completely, like kind of so you have to go in the middle, or you can put it on one side or the other to make people kind of slow down. Mm-hmm. And so those are some ways that we have those. So I say this to say, we had a project, we had a neighborhood that came forward and had the petition and submitted it to our board in the spring. It's on Cobblestone Drive
okay.
over in Carborough. And so the data was so great that our board actually said to staff, well, go ahead and go to stage two. And stage two involves meeting with the neighbors, talking to them about mm-hmm. what's going to be put out there, and kind of there's exploratory phase of what's going to end up working. Our staff ended up, you know, trying kind of put out a variety of possible measures within the last 2 weeks. I think a lot of neighbors were surprised to see them appear. There was some confusion at whether what was meant to be traffic calming, whether it was what we were told or what we were calling a bicycle boulevard, because we were also
okay.
building sharrows to try to encourage people to use this as a connector
right.
to another greenway. In any event, I'm just saying this to say that part of this process of looking at a plan like this is to try out some of those. Like these neighbors, part of it is these chicanes aren't working because people are parking on the road and mm-hmm. it's kind of blind going around here and there. Understanding if you put a temporary traffic strip somewhere, that if one ends up being put in permanently, it's not going to be a little hard strip. It'll be a
right.
nice rounded hump like we see around town. And then just other things. You know, like we had the radar up there to see how fast people were going and things like that. But indeed, you know, if 75% of the folks signed this petition to say we want this, we heard from perhaps 20 or 25% that said, whoa, what is this? What are you doing? And
right.
so just kind of word out to the neighbors. We had a neighborhood meeting with them earlier this week that, you know, staff is getting that input and continuing to work toward, some kind of a traffic solution that can work for everyone.
And there are different options that work differently for different neighborhoods.
There are.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Because, you know, a lot of it is it a street that you park on or don't park on?
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Is it a street where you have visibility or high visibility? You know, is it a street where you already have sidewalks? Do
mm-hmm.
people walk on there? You know, is it a street that you have a lot of cut-through traffic on? You know, or a dead-end street? You know, so there are a lot of things to be considered in that experimental phase. I think in general, it seems like the consensus is there should, and this is often the case, there should be some type of traffic calming, but you know, staff and the community hasn't arrived yet at what best would be there.
Right. Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lavelle, also a law professor at NC Central. And as we wrap up, I know there's a legal thing on your mind as the Supreme Court starts to get back in session in the fall. And we've been talking about a particular case or set of cases. They're combining several into one, right? Is
yeah,
that how
it's
it works?
Yeah, it's three different cases. And so, yeah, this, I said, Aaron, I've been focusing on this all summer. I've got to talk to you about it for at least a minute,
yeah.
you know. But yeah, so on.
You can't see this on the radio. There's a large three-ring binder in front of the mayor with a whole bunch of papers in it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is really important. On October 8th is mm-hmm. when the Supreme Court will hear three cases. And it's the question in these cases is whether Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 applies to LGBT persons. Two of the cases are specifically involve gay people who were fired because they were gay. Mm-hmm. You know, they found out they were gay and said, okay, we're firing you because you're gay.
There's no question about that.
Right.
Like, that is why they were fired.
Yes. It's not even like, you know, oh, you know, you're not doing a very good job. By the way, they're gay. You know,
right.
It was, you're gay, you're fired. Okay. And then the third case involved a person, person who was transgender, mm-hmm. Who got fired when they told their employer about their transition. So anyway, it's going to be a really, really important set of cases. I think, you know, part of what I'm writing about in this article, and you and I can talk about it and geek out about it as the date approaches.
Right.
I'm interested in the fact
and
that...
And will.
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. I'm interested that the court elected to kind of address these before addressing public accommodation cases, mm-hmm. you know, because they had the opportunity in Masterpiece, and that was kind of one that went out on its own and it was just kind of, it didn't result in anything.
Right.
They had another case that was called the Klein case that was another cake case that they could have addressed on the merits this spring, and instead they kicked it back to the lower court and said, you know, kind of pursuant to Masterpiece, we want you to do this. But they really didn't carve out any new law or explain how to deal mm-hmm. with it. And so I think the premise of this article is I think they chose to first address Title VII cases before returning to the public accommodation cases. And I make the argument in this paper that, you know, I think it's going to be really hard to find that you can continue to discriminate against gay persons, especially when the marriage cases really enunciate this liberty interest that gay people now have. How do you reconcile those two? You know, mm-hmm. how can you say you have a liberty interest, but then it results in you losing your job? Well, that really doesn't seem like a very good liberty interest. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. I've been playing around with it. I'll be interested in seeing what you think.
Yeah, so. I'm looking forward to having that conversation at greater length. And these three cases deal specifically with, you mentioned the Civil Rights Act, which bans discrimination on the basis of sex. How far does that word sex extend is basically
exactly.
the larger question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Title VII basically says, you know, it's unlawful to fail or refuse to hire or discharge anyone based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. So one question is, what is sex?
Right.
You know, another question is, does sex encompass sexual orientation?
Exactly.
So it's a really, it's been argued a bunch of different ways. And the other fun geek out thing is if you look at the Supreme Court docket page, you see all the amicus briefs that are filed
mm-hmm.
and just people coming at it from a variety of different angles.
No doubt,
you know,
yeah.
all of the different constituencies and different groups, you know, filing their briefs. And so those are interesting also.
Yeah. All of that aside, Congress can put the kibosh on this whole case right now by passing the Equality Act.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
They could. Yes. Yeah. Yes. They certainly could.
Yeah. Townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. We'll keep following all of those as we get further into the fall. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.